Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So you'll recall that the same John who wrote this first letter of John, which we heard read, the verses I just quoted, is the same John who was the beloved disciple, who leaned on Jesus' chest, you know, they kind of had a reclining supper at the Last Supper, who testifies at the beginning of this letter that we have actually touched the Son of God and actually heard his words and received his message. And so John, in his gospel and his letters, points to the fact that he is one of the eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And one of the delightful things about the letter of 1 John is you could think about it as a distilled summary of how to live the Christian life. It's sort of like one of those, have you seen those things where if a book comes out but you don't want to read the whole book, you can get like the 5-minute audio summary, kind of boiling it down to its main points. It's like that for the New Testament, and if you read 1 John, you might even wonder, hey, haven't I read this verse already? And the answer is yes, because he's really circulating around two points, which we heard again in this lesson, which is love God and love your neighbor. But it's also not just a repetition of the great commandment that Jesus points out in the gospel. It's a translation of the great commandment in light of the death and resurrection of Jesus. So what we see John doing here is when he says love God, the way we do that now in the face of Jesus having died for us and been raised from the dead, loving God means believe in Jesus. He's translating the new commandment, the great commandment, into the new covenant era. What does it mean to love God? Well, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. Believe in Jesus. And then loving your neighbor, translated in the light of the new covenant, means love God's own children. That it's actually an amplification. Your neighbor isn't just the person who happens to be nearby you. If that person has been baptized and is a believing Christian, they are actually God's own child. You are loving God's own child when you love your Christian neighbor. Believe in Jesus, love your Christian brother. That's the Spirit-inspired translation of the great commandment given to us by St. John. So I want to touch on these a little bit. Believing in Jesus, meaning believing who he is, and that's one of the things that John takes pains to point out through the letter. Jesus is the core facets of who he is, that he really is God, that he really has come in the flesh. Right? That's the point that John makes at the beginning. We've touched him. We've held his hand. We've heard his words. That he really has satisfied God when it comes to the debt of our sins. That's what we hear often in the midst of the liturgy, the comfortable words, right? He is the propitiation for our sins, meaning satisfaction. That he is alive and he's risen and we trust in him. I want to unpack one thing that might be misleading at first when we hear 1 John, is he's often talking about the commandments of God. We might think, like, wait, is John sending us back to the law? Is he sending us back to just sort of rule-keeping? And the answer, as you might expect, is no. But the key that John gives us is in 1 John 3:23, when he says, this is God's commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. John's saying that not only is believing in Jesus the sort of new covenant way of receiving the great commandment, it's the way of receiving all of the commandments. All of the commandments are woven into, are boiled down to, and are now represented to us as simply believe in Jesus. Which is why John can say it's not a burdensome commandment. It's not burdensome to believe in Jesus. It's actually the means by which we are unburdened. We believe in Jesus. And John says to love the children of God. This isn't to the exclusion of loving your heathen neighbor. Right? We're called to love Christian neighbor and heathen neighbor, but for different reasons. We see the Spirit speaking similarly through St. Paul in Galatians. As you have the opportunity, do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Same thing what John is saying here. We especially attend to loving our brother and sister Christians. I think I'm constantly in this battle of trying to bring down this commandment of love out of hopeless abstraction into the real world into which God has spoken it. But I think because we think we have rightly a very high view of what love is, but the way a handful of factors have come to bear, we kind of think about that something to do out there beyond the sort of ordinary put of view of my life. But God is speaking this commandment into the ordinary purview of our life. That your Christian brother and sister who you bump into the most, that is who you are called to love the most. And if in your station of life that's your roommate, then it's your roommate. If you're married, it's probably your spouse. If you work outside the home, it's your colleagues. It's the people you bump into the most. That's who we're called to love. I think I've been especially convicted myself lately that the call to love your spouse is at the epicenter of God's call to love your Christian brother or sister. That your spouse is your nearest brother or sister. Carrie wrote out on our fridge for the girls to try and teach them 1 Corinthians 13, like the love is, love is, love is. And barely a day goes by where there's not something on there which is convicting to me in my relationship to Carrie. Love is patient. Love is kind. And the thing that the Lord has been challenging me more with lately, and I offer it to you just to join me in the challenge of it for those of you for whom it sticks, is that one, love does not insist on its own way. I don't know enough to know if that's peculiarly like male fault, although it might be. Okay, well at least I feel it sharply as a man. I'm glad to know it's not just. But the intent to insist on my own way and in all manner of sneaky ways, right? Insist that my narrative that's explaining things is the right one. Or I'm going to do these loving things to make sure I try and get what I want. Right? That's not love. That's still insisting on my way. And so I invite you, and one of the things that I sort of have seen that ties together several of the descriptors of what love truly is, Christian love in 1 Corinthians 13, a quality that ties many of them together is the gentleness. That gentleness is patient. You know, in order to not insist on your way, that gentleness is a core quality of love that really is valuing and rightly perceiving the dignity of the other person. I think especially in the married relationship, gentleness is something that the Lord's been teaching me a lot about in the last several weeks. And so I just wanted to kind of share that with you in close to real time as something, a sort of fresh word that has helped me sort of latch onto, oh wait, like I'm clearly not carrying myself gently in this interaction. Love is gentle. Patience, not insisting on your way, kindness, those come from a gentle quality of being. The Holy Spirit is constantly, his work is being described as softening, right? Turning a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. We read in the Daily Office this week that Jesus was grieved at the Pharisees because of their hardness of heart. The opposite of hardness, gentleness. So I invite you, as you hear the Spirit speaking through St. John, to love your Christian brother. I invite you to sort of especially attend to the application of the people that you live with, perhaps especially your spouse. I invite you to join me in contemplating gentleness as a very meaningful lens to lay claim to the love that God is calling us into. Lastly, I wanted to touch on one surprise in this text that I just read, where John actually flips something he's repeated at different junctures in the letter. Often he's saying, the way you know that you love God is that you love your neighbor. How can you love him who you can't see if you're not loving the one that you see? But John offers a remix of it in these verses where he actually says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. See how that's an inversion? Wait, I attest, I sort of show that I am loving my brother, is that I'm loving God?
Yes.
Because when we are loving God, we do two things. We are rightly ordering our loves. We are submitting to our Maker and our Savior, the wellspring from which a life of obeying the commandment to believe in Jesus, to love our brother, comes. We're connected to the wellspring, but we're also modeling for our brother and sister, for our nearest brother and sister, the Christian life, rightly lived out, that loves God first, and then loves our neighbor. So it's just a surprising twist in the passage that delighted me as I was looking at it this week. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Amen.